Let's chat to Alison Goldberg, who's on the line. She's a partner at U Realty, and we're going to chat about the state of the property market in Johannesburg. Alison, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
That's a great pleasure, Greg. Sorry, Simon.
I'm fine. I'll answer to whatever you want to call me. It's all good. Alison, no bias in my question here, but maybe you can pick it up. How dead is the Joburg property market?
Well, that's a really good question. Because what I'm about to say is based on FNB's property market reports for the first and the second quarter, and their brilliant senior economist there, Sifamandla Mkwanazi's predictions, and also on Irvin Roeder, who's the chairman of Roeder Associates, on his predictions. So what we're looking at are the prediction for this year is a 3% house price growth, which in real terms, after inflation, that means prices are still declining.
Oh my goodness!
There was a surge in positive sentiment in the first quarter among estate agents, because these reports are based on an estate agent's survey. But with activity ratings reaching a three-year high, however, market outcomes were still modest. What that means basically is that estate agents were kept busy by buyers, but it didn't translate into sales. So the market was subdued, and now with winter in the second quarter, there's been a modest cooling thereafter. That's the general overview. What Mkhwanazi found was that there is resilience in the affordable market, which accounts for 45% of new activity in the deeds office, and that's the largest segment of the market. Interestingly enough,
Alison, let me understand that a little bit better. When you talk about the affordable sector, what are we talking about? Zero to what? A million?
Below 750,000.
Below 750. Wow.
So that market is actually quite resilient, but facing affordability challenges, which have been somewhat ameliorated by the two cuts in interest rates, now down to 10.5%. But there are affordability challenges, and there also is a constrained supply of stock at that level. In the upper market, in the higher markets, what's called the traditional market, buyers and sellers are more influenced by political uncertainty and global uncertainty, and those are
that makes sense.
Important factors.
Mm-hmm.
This, for example, in this the latest quarter, Mkhwanazi was saying that to sustain momentum in those markets, what we need are accelerated economic reforms. So I put the question to him whether he's talking about BEE or expropriation without compensation. And he said, no, in this context, he's talking about actual reforms which are being titled the Vulandlela operation, which is to look at networking industries, and includes electricity, roads, ports, digital communications, visa relaxation to attract skills into South Africa and boost tourism. And then what happened after this announcement, the DA came up with its own growth and jobs plan to tackle that, but to tackle BEE, and to tackle expropriation without compensation, and the Equity Act, the Employment Equity Act. So their plan is far more ambitious than what Mkhwanazi was referring to. And Irvin Ritter, you know, is, was, you know, very skeptical, he said, about this operation Vulindlela, because there have been so many growth plans mooted over the past few years. And what's not being addressed are the fundamental, you know, the fundamentals.
Alison, I want to stay away from the detailed reasons for why. Yeah, the politicals. We all know what they are. We live here. We're very aware of it. We know about the state of the roads and the municipalities and all that. I suppose that accounts pretty well for the reasons that so many people are leaving and semigrating to the coast. I suppose that makes some kind of sense. But what I'm interested in is, has the rental market shown any more resilience in that people aren't buying?
The
they've got to live
market,
somewhere.
I didn't examine the rental market in these two quarters, but that's we have a very strong rental department at U Realty, which probably is more active in the sales at the moment. So rentals, you know, rentals have been strong, but
Alison,
Trevor Richter, yeah, our CEO, found that. You know, he did comment on the subdued market in the first quarter, hasn't commented yet on the second quarter.
There's been lots of talk.
Rentals are strong.
There's been lots of talk, Alison, of disillusioned Johannesburgers returning back to Gauteng. Is that a real discernible trend, or is that just media hype?
Disappointed where are you saying they're returning from
having left Joburg to go down to the Cape for ostensibly better lifestyle, finding out that you don't get much of a bang for the buck in Cape Town, traffic's pretty lousy, weather's not the greatest, and apparently there's somewhat of a flow back to Gauteng. Are you seeing that in the sales at
no, it hasn't been picked up as a remarkable indicator at all. No, what the only immigration figures that come up are in terms of the breakdown in reasons for selling. And immigration actually is about 5% at the moment of sales. And the long-term average has been about 8 or 9. So no, there was no comment on that by Mkhonazi or estate agents.
And this story also of foreign buyers, wealthy Americans, Brits and the like, buying properties in Johannesburg because they deem them to be really good value. Is that something discernible?
Yeah. Let me say that overall, what's the remarks of the first and second, on the second, first and second quarters, was that the buyers are actually very cautious because of
political risk,
global uncertainty, and domestic uncertainty. I mean, in the second quarter there was heightened uncertainty because of the government of national unity, but that's dissipated, where it looks more stable than it did then. To go back to your question, Simon, just help me.
I want to move on to something else, if you don't mind. I was thinking about the fact that we all sat around Shabbat dinners most of our childhoods, listening to our grandparents tell us, you need to buy a house, you need to buy a house, you need to buy a house. That was conventional wisdom and understood. That's what we all needed to do. And my biggest regret in my life is that I bought a house, and I bought it here in Johannesburg, because if I'd taken that capital and put it in the bank and invested elsewhere and paid rent, I would have been way ahead of the game. I've lived in a city where returns have been negative for the past 10 years. What's your take on that, and what would you advise your kids for the next 10 years?
Finding, you know, that sadly is the finding, that, you know, that going back to at least 2015, 2016, and Denise Zaslansky from First commented on that, that prices haven't recovered, and in fact it declined. In a recent example of a seller I dealt with in Oakland, I mean, he echoed what you say about property investment compared to investments in
Yeah, stake in ETF. Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Alison, that was interesting. Not necessarily what I wanted to hear, but interesting nevertheless. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I still, just to end, I still think it's a good, you know, while the blood's on the street, it's still a good time to buy.
But wow, there is, that's sitting said, at the roulette lingering, table telling me to play on red. That's what that is, I reckon.
Yeah, there's lingering caution among buyers.
Lingering caution.
Okay. Yeah, because of cost of living crisis, you know, induced by the pandemic. So, but it is, I think, still a good time to buy.
Thank you so much, Alison. What a difficult place to be a real estate agent and having to tell somebody, go and commit yourself to a property for 20 years, pay all that interest, knowing that it isn't necessarily going to turn out the way you wanted it. I think it's funny. I had been one who was very pro those kinds of investments my entire life. If I could relive my life, I would have done it the other way around. If I'd taken all the funds that I'd put into a home and put it into an index tracker, like a NASDAQ ETF or a S&P 500 ETF, I would be so much further ahead of the game. But hey, what do they say? Hindsight is the perfect vision.